Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
We have heard a lot about firings due to social media posts about the Charlie Kirk matter. What's the legal story here?
Well, if you work for a private employer, you do not have a First Amendment right. It's simple as that. Your employer can fire you for saying things on social media that it doesn't like. And that's the employer's First Amendment right to choose how it's being portrayed in the media and in the public. So be wary and be careful when you're doing that. The exception would be, Bob, if you work for a governmental agency. And then there's some protection for your out-of-work statements. But even that is going to be tempered by the idea that the government can still say, if you're disruptive and if what you're saying is disrupting your ability to do your job, then I can fire you for that as well.
So if employees are disagreeing with the politics of their supervisor, their boss, could that be considered a hostile work environment?
No, hostile work environment is really just in terms of sexual harassment. That is really what that term means. So if you have a boss that's creating an environment that's really nasty and it's hostile, that is completely legal. There's no action for that. If you have a jerky boss, a bad work environment, if it goes into that realm of it being sexually, offensive, then that's hostile work environment, and then there's a lawsuit. But again, word to everybody out there, really keeping your mouth shut is probably the best thing to do when everything is so polarized right now that I see these employers from all over the walks of life, whether it's American Airlines or governmental agencies, are firing people because of what they're saying online about this situation.
Yeah, be careful. Good advice. A lot of controversy about what Attorney General Pam Bondi said regarding hate speech crossing the line into threats of violence. What is and what isn't protected by the First Amendment?
Well, if you say things that are offensive and hostile, that is the First Amendment right. And, people say all kinds of offensive things. When it crosses over the line is when it becomes a threat. So I can say, I don't like what's going on at this community center. That's completely fine, and I can even use horrible words to say what I think is going on there. But if I say, I think everyone should go over there with a gun and shoot up the place, then that is inciting violence, and that's where it crosses the line. So, and again, hate speech can be, I can say who I hate. There's no question. I can hand out pamphlets on the street saying I hate all people of this ethnicity. But it's when I take action to harm them or encourage others to do it, that's when it crosses the line.
What about what's on the internet? Are social media platforms exempt from liability? Are they completely immune regardless of their algorithms?
They are largely immune under what we've heard a lot about, the Communications Decency Act. And as long as the social media platform is taking reasonable actions to call out some of the bad stuff that is inciting violence, then they're going to be immune. But we've seen this erode over the years. And, we've seen this with TikTok, where it's proven that their algorithms are targeting young people and getting them to do things that are extremely unhealthy and causing suicides and the like. So we're seeing the erosion of that immunity, but there is still largely protection for social media.
I know you have read the full indictment in the Charlie Kirk murder case. What are the chances here of the shooter getting the death penalty? And what is the history of that in Utah?
Well, there's only four people on death row in Utah, but they have used it, and they use the firing squad. In fact, my understanding is they just completed the building of a new firing squad place in their prison system. They're seeking the death penalty. They can seek the death penalty. In Utah, there has to be an aggravating factor, and one of the aggravating factors is that he targeted this man while there were children involved, or there were children there, and other people were threatened. And when you shoot into a crowd like that, obviously you're threatening other people. So it doesn't take much to be qualified to get the death penalty. My assumption is that they're going to go head on and they're going to ask for it. They're going to get the jury to try to give the death penalty, and the jury just may do it in a conservative state like Utah.
Whatever happened with the reward money that was being offered in that case?
Well, I heard, and again, you never quite know what to believe, but the father of the suspect turned him in, and he could have tried to claim the reward money, but he didn't. I'm thinking, cynically, it's because he's the one who bought the gun for the young man, and if you believe the internet. So I will remain to see if there's going to be anyone else who tries to claim it.
Let's talk about what happened in New York with a judge dismissing first-degree murder charges against the accused killer of the United Health executive. Why did the judge do this?
First, you have to understand, in New York, first-degree murder is more than it would be here in Illinois. In Illinois, if you have a premeditated murder, that's first-degree with little whistles and bells. But in New York, you have to have not only premeditated, but you have to have another factor. And it's usually something very aggravating, like a terrorist kind of activity. And this judge really, I think, heroically basically said, listen, this was a horrible crime. This was, you know, really horrible. But his actions didn't threaten the general civilian population. Maybe his goal was to draw attention to what he perceived as greed of insurance companies and corporate America, but he didn't want to instill violence in the entire population. And for that reason, there was no terrorism aspect, and therefore that prong of the first degree murder is off the table. Now, that doesn't mean he's clear, because there's still second degree murder, which can get him 25 years to life in prison.
Right. And finally, the Rolling Stone publisher is suing Google over AI summaries, claiming that they're using the Rolling Stone reporting illegally. Does this case have any merit?
I think it does, and it's very interesting. You know, those AI overviews pop up. Well, Rolling Stone, for instance, if they want to be included on a Google search, you know, in whatever you're Googling, they have to submit their content to Google so Google can grab it and use it in their AI interviews. Well, the problem with that is that most people these days, I guess, are going on seeing the AI interview, which pops up first, and then they're not going to the Rolling Stone site. So Rolling Stone is losing all kinds of advertising, et cetera. So they're saying, hey, you have 90% of the market share. You've got me roped here. And I think that this antitrust type of lawsuit, it's going to have some merit when we finally get to the end of it.
You need a law degree to understand all the news these days. Or you need Karen Conti. Thanks. Appreciate it, Karen. Have a good one.